Welcome to Daily Devotion with Ken Gurley. Devotions designed to inspire you on your daily walk with God. Each day we walk through the vital principles of the abundant life. Our Lord can do above and beyond all we ask or think. Here's your host, Ken Gurley.
The word is better. It's a comparative. That when two things are lined up, you say, this is better than that. It's of a higher quality, a greater value. It has more weight, length, substance, content. It's better. There's power in that word, discernment, and even faith. It was cold in the classroom, so a couple of 8-year-old boys decided they would warm things up. They took what they thought was a keg of kerosene over to the school's pot-bellied stove. It wasn't kerosene, but gasoline. And the stove exploded. It killed one of the boys. The other boy it left with badly burned legs. Doctors looked at the boy's legs and said they would have to be amputated or infection would kill him. The parents said, let's wait a day and see if it's any better. Let's hold out for better. Let's look for something better. The next day, the doctors looked again at the boy's legs, and again they said, probably be best if we amputated. The parents said, let's wait another day and see if it's any better. This went on for several days, several weeks, until indeed the boy's leg started to heal. The doctors then noticed that the boy's left leg would be 2.5 inches shorter than the right leg. His right foot was missing all of its toes. So they said he'll keep his legs, but he'll never be able to walk. And soon the boy was hobbling around on crutches. Again, the prediction changed. Well, he may be able to walk, but he will never be able to walk without crutches. Within a few more weeks, he walked without crutches. And soon he began to jog and eventually started to run. And that little boy, Glenn Cunningham, never stopped running. And in 1974, Glenn would be inducted into the Hall of Fame as a runner. He broke the world record for the mile twice in a single year, an Olympic medalist, NCAA track star, once called the fastest human being on 2 feet. All because some parents learned to say, I believe it's looking better, don't you? Better. I want you to hold on to that word. It's imperative where we're at to approach the gates of heaven as we're discussing this week on Daily Devotion. You need the ability to say, it's going to be better tomorrow. It's better today than it was yesterday. And wouldn't you know it, there's a book in the New Testament that actually has the theme better. It's the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews 11, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. God provided something better for us. According to the writer of Hebrews, some think Paul, some think Barnabas, some think Apollos, or someone influenced by Paul, perhaps. Although the authorship may not be clear, what is clear, it's in the canon of Scripture, it's inspired, and it has that single word theme, better. Today, we have a better sacrifice, a better high priest. Jesus is better than Moses. He's better than the angels. Calvary is better than any animal sacrifice. We have a better Sabbath, a rest to cause the weary to rest, better hope, better future. Can we even say it, a better God? Not in the sense that there's more than one God, there's only one. The God above and invisible in the Old Testament came near, became visible in the New Testament. The Jehovah of the old, who's the Jesus of the new. So we're not comparing two different gods. We're comparing an aspect about God, that each day, this wonderful God that we serve, he gets better in our hearts and minds. He reveals himself more. We serve a God who proves better today than he did in our yesterday. It's impossible really to improve upon perfection. God is perfect. He is complete. He is whole. He needed nothing yesterday. He needs nothing today and will not tomorrow. He has all of everything, all power, all knowledge, all wisdom. He's in all places at all times. It's impossible for you and me to improve upon God. Yet God continues to better himself in our minds and lives every day. That God constantly renews himself into our worlds. He constantly tries to better our understanding of his greatness. He reveals himself in so many different ways. That's why there's 1,000 different names and titles for God found in the Bible, so that you and I may know him better. He's the light as the night increases, that we may see him better. He's the bread as our hunger increases, that we may find him better. He's the living water as our thirst increases, that we may find him more able, better. He's the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, that when we are at our wits' end, we find that God is better able to help us. So as the world grows steadily worse, as entropy and chaos grips this natural world, God grows better, more capable, more powerful. I love what Paul said in Romans 5, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. It's God's modus operandi. He saves the best for last. His first miracle, the best wine, was saved for last. That God is getting better in our world. His mercies are new every morning. Do you remember what C.S. Lewis wrote about Aslan? That lion Aslan is the Christ-like figure in his fanciful stories. "Aslan," said Lucy, "you're bigger." "That's because you're older, little one," answered he. "Not because you are. I'm not. But every year you grow, you will find me bigger." God continues to remake himself each and every day. So what do you need? God already saw it and has already made provision, because he grows bigger and better every day in our lives. This better God can give us this better life. With the Lord going before us, our life can be better than it was yesterday. The minor prophet Haggai once asked, "Who remembers the first temple? Hands must have gone up." Then he said, "How do you see it now?" When they looked at the ruins of the temple before them and they compared the splendid temple of the past in their memories, they grew discouraged. It didn't look any better, it looked worse. Perhaps that's how some of you feel. You look at your life and think, "It doesn't compare with what I've known or even what I anticipated." Haggai's words are to you in chapter 2, verse 4. "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Be strong, take courage." How? Because the God who always gets better is with us, and he makes things better. God is busy preparing a better life. This means whatever was good in prior years, God can make it better in this year. Whatever hurt you in the past, God can make it better in the present. Pastor, how can you say this? Because the God who always gets better has got something better planned for you. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. The writer of this book that has a one-word theme, better, said God having provided some better thing for us. Why can't we believe that the good God of heaven and earth truly desires to be good to us? Jesus said in Luke 12, "Seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Don't be of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." I think that's the proper attitude, is to anticipate and expect a good, even a better life. Can I share with you how I see it? I believe that you will prosper. I believe that if you lose a job, a better one is on its way. I believe that your home will be blessed. You're going to receive the desires of your heart. I believe that your family will flourish. I believe that you will find close friends. I believe your church family will prosper. I believe that light is coming into this country. that a great awakening and revival is happening. I believe that God's going to work his plan. I believe for a better ending. I believe for a better God, a better life, a better you. Maybe we shouldn't be worrying about what we can't change or listening to the news and surfing the websites. Maybe it's taking that next step in your calling, your vocation, your career. Maybe it's finally starting that business, writing that book, finishing that project. Why can we do this? Because God put within us the power to choose, and we choose and speak life and not death. We choose and speak peace, not frustration. We choose power, joy, love, and a sound mind. I believe that the better God is making a better life for a better you. And don't you know God is committed to that? He's committed to a better you, that he will give you the grace and grit through prayer, that you can storm the gates of heaven and experience a breakthrough. When you pray, say, God, with your help, I will not stay the same. I will be changed. I will be transformed. I will grow. I will experience a personal transformation, a metamorphosis. I will have a greater prayer life. I will be closer to you and walk in your word. I will grow. I will be light in a dark world. I will choose what you want more than what I want. I will choose to believe the report of the Lord more than the naysaying and the criticism of my enemy. For I know my enemy does not want me to get better. He wants me to get worse. But the Lord said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That thief, he's out there to steal, kill, and destroy. But I choose life. I choose something better. I choose something more than all that my critics have to offer. If you're not seeing the progress in your life, learn the language of faith that the Cunninghams did many years ago. I think it looks a little better today. Let's wait a day. Run with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that's going to finish this. And you're going to finish better than what you started. A pediatric nurse used to let children listen to their own heartbeats. She would plug the stethoscope into their ears and watch as their eyes would light up with awe, listening to their own hearts. One day she did this with a 4-year-old boy named David. She gently tucked the stethoscope in his ears, placed the disc over his heart. She said, "Listen, what do you suppose that is?" Little David drew his eyes together in a puzzled line and looked up as if it was just a total mystery as what was tapping in his chest. Finally, his face broke out in a wondrous grin, and he asked, "Is that Jesus knocking?" I like that story because Jesus is knocking. This better God has crafted a better life to create a better you. All you and I have to do is open the door of possibilities, let him in, and say, "God, I'm looking to you. I'm believing that you're going to write a better ending to this story than what was prophesied, that it's going to end far better than it began. So rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. I may have fallen, but I'm going to get up because I've got a better life in store."
Thank you for sharing in daily devotion with Ken Gurley. We pray this ministry has been a source of encouragement and strength to you. Please be mindful that your financial support enables us to meet with you each day. To give a donation or connect with us, visit our website at kengurley.com. There you will also find the latest books, podcasts, and resources. Blessed 90 Days to Change Your World is Pastor Gurley's latest book. You can get your copy of this life-changing book at kengurley.com. May God's favor rest on you in every way until we meet again.